Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark. I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I make random cat noises instead of speaking like a human being.
I'm AR Palver, and I actually offered to show up this time.
Yeah, that was the funny part. I didn't invite AR because I'm like, with a news thing, who knows? And, you know, Christmas, I'm not going to bother him. I mentioned
What you mean is there's no food to make fun of.
I mentioned something offhand yesterday to AR. It's like, I'm actually available tomorrow. It's like, great. I don't remember what I said.
Like it feels like a good time for my mandatory quarterly appearance.
It's funny, like, we knew it was going to be a decent-sized week, and then things just kept happening. Like, there's multiple things that a week ago, some are things me and Dev commented on as, oh, I'm sure will happen eventually, half-jokingly, and, like, everything happened at once. So, since we have a lot to go over, let's go ahead and start off. So, hey, Beat Break Episode 12, A New Family aired, and we found out it's an arc ender, and last episode of the year, and there's a lot happening here that up and down for Peak Break.
So my friends are very delighted that Kyo looks like an absolute mess and is so beaten up and bloody.
It's exactly what we wanted out of Kyo, honestly.
Yeah.
You're gonna have an older character, you gotta
I'm pretty sure half the audience thought he'd be dead by now.
After Asuka half died in episode 1, I figured we'd get a good arc or two before Kyo runs into something.
So Kyo's down, everything's burning, and hey, look, it's Kekkoman. Also, I didn't realize this until after I did it. That feature bar on With the Will, the top thing that rotates, I didn't realize that the way that I cropped it to fit, you can't tell it's Kekkoman. It just sort of looks like Gekkoman is there. Because it's cropped right where, like, the head cuts off?
I mean, I'm like most people at the end of episode 11 was like, wait, did he just get beheaded? Oh, no, that's his, that's his baby form.
Kaido, really, it's funny. All energy he had kind of vanished once Kyo doesn't want to fight. We get the...
Yeah, he's like that typical Blood Knight character. It's like, fight me! It's like, oh, it's not fun when you're being a pathetic little bitch.
We get a mention of the...
It's like the only thing that's interesting about Kaido, honestly.
The issue with Kaido is it's so stereotypically that character.
Yeah.
Like, I expect we'll see interesting stuff later, but there are so many characters from anime and games that half of them even have red hair.
He's such a fire type.
Yeah. Hey, we jump back to base. Kekkoman looking sad. They're taking care of Kyo.
Tomura being traumatized in the corner.
So they haven't always won, but I think this is the first time that they got a smashing loss.
Yeah, they got their asses handed to them.
They got their asses kicked. They were due.
Kekkoman's depressed. Tomura really doesn't seem much better considering he caused most of it.
It's like, oh shit, it's all my fault. I almost killed my brother figure.
And
he's
over
in the corner listening to Simple Plan.
And then, hey, unlike the last show that had a notable scar, we got an explanation in show this time. Kyo tells us about his burn scars. He explains the five stars, the World Union, how they make the Sapotama. The Union actually controls everything behind the scenes. We get a flashback to Kyo as a young upstart battling an Andromon.
It's wild that it was 11 years ago when he was a young upstart. I didn't have him being that much older than everybody else.
He's adorable. Kid, you want some money? It's like, I don't want money. I want violence.
I think he's supposed to be like 24, 25, isn't he?
Yeah, that would be...
Okay, that's what
that
I thought.
Right. I thought I had him more like 18.
Okay, see, for some reason, I always thought he was mid-20s. I don't know if that was mentioned somewhere, and I remember... Okay, others are saying that he's actually said to be 22.
22, okay. Which is, you know, that makes sense. He is about 11 in the flashback, so... Yeah. 11 is just that typical age for a Digimon.
Now, it's weird. So, during this flashback, am I wrong, or was this the first time Marasimamon appears?
Yes.
I assume that was supposed to be his...
He was a bit surprised by it, but, like, they didn't go out of their way to point out one way or the other. So, and then, hey, join the five.
Kudos for them for having some restraint. Like, they could have turned that into some unnecessary big-ass sequence, and now it's just like, yep, that's when he evolved.
To be fair, Beat Break has not been very interested in the big sequences, more or less.
And I appreciate them for that.
I can't decide if I appreciate it or not, because it also wants to treat things like big sequences. And hey, Kyo meets people, they want him to join the Five Stars. What I think's interesting is he's really not interested in money, he's interested in fighting.
Yeah.
He's like the bastard child of Yamato and Masaru.
It's very Masaru-coded. I want to know what the salary negotiations with Dats were for Masaru.
Well, that's where it gets interesting, though. He points out he was gold in the Five Stars, and he left because he was sick of how they did things. They don't actually clarify what happened, which I actually like, because it feels like that's something they will swing back to later.
Yeah, you just kind of get that impression, like, you know that, you know.
No, absolutely. Code. But what I mean is
you know, Kyo's ethical code, like, you can kind of fill in some blanks.
That's what I mean. Like, Kyo now. And then we get introduced to him at being a kid, and him really just wanting to beat the crap out of stuff. And then they jump without telling us. I like that there is the depth of something clearly happens. They're not going to tell us, for now at least.
Yeah. I mean,
look how Kaito kind of treated him the first time they met again. He's like, toxic co-workers.
Yeah.
I'm curious whether it was like a slow evolution or whether it was some one sudden moment of empathy that turned him against the Five Stars.
Now, the interesting thing is after pointing out that's when he then looks at Tomura and basically says, "What do you want to do?" Where he's not giving him like a vague threat. He's legitimately asking him, "What is it you want to do? Is it too hard to be here? What are you looking for?"
Basically? I mean, he's basically had this path decided for him, so it's like it's a good time to go, hey, we just had this moment of reset. It's like, if you really want to leave, like, we can throw Kekkoman in with the other babies.
The one scripting bit that I think is actually good here is he actually points out they're not going to abandon Gekkoman, they're not going to abandon Asuka, regardless of what he does. It's legitimately his choice, which kind of feels like the show went out of its way to not give him that choice earlier, and no one really comments on it up to this point. And then Kekkoman goes running off.
He was conscripted.
Yeah. And off goes Kekkoman. I'm not sure Reyna's lecture worked that well, just because it comes up so much up to this point that hearing them, like him being lectured again, I just don't think it had much energy.
No, it's diminishing returns right now for Reyna.
Then we get Tomuro in the hospital with his brother, and Makoto actually doesn't know what's going on, if he'll be back or not. And Reyna comments she thinks he will. And then we get
that kind of speaks to Makoto. It's like he's just sort of he's still being a little passive with this.
Yeah. And then we get actual depth from Tomuro, where his main thing being upset is what he did, specifically to Gekkoman.
Wow, I was a huge dick to this adorable little creature that just saw me as family.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get to... Yeah. He's got to understand his own self-loathing at some point. Yeah.
And then, hey, a flash... This is also where I can't decide if they're doing it just enough where it might stop working, is the flashback to the brother giving him advice, and then the advice catching up later on.
Advice was that?
Where Tomuro's like complaining about where they are, and the brother's trying to go, you know, even though bad things happen, it's not all bad. I get to spend more time, like the advice of life not always going how you want it, but there's always something.
Yeah, that's pretty bland.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, how many times can they pull out that chestnut? Actually, it may actually be done at this point, like being worthwhile.
At some point, he might start believing it.
Yeah.
I don't really get the feeling that he's really let that sink in at any point.
And then the other Digimon catch up to Kekkoman. Am I wrong, or do they not... Kekkoman does not appear to have the ability to talk, but that does not seem to be something the others were, like, ready for. Because they clearly are trying to talk to him.
Like, oh shit, you're just a Pokemon
now. It's a bit odd.
Yeah, well, they... Did the other babies show capacity for speech?
Because
we've seen enough babies by now.
I feel I feel like in that one episode we saw one say something, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
It's been a while.
It wasn't really something I paid attention to. It's very possible in this world that the babies just can't really talk.
They just make terrified squeaking noises.
And then, hey, Marine Bulmon shows up. And also Yoshimura pops up to say, hey, he's heading right here. So
I'm not going to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
I love that.
The Digimon get the message.
I mean, you could have just fucking called, dude.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Like,
could have been an email.
Kakumon falls. And then, hey, it's the eye catch and it's Tomura.
Wonder what that means.
Who this episode focuses on.
And then they go to the flashback again with the brother trying to cook for him and that, which we already talked about.
The flashbacks after that one, those are starting like, okay, that this is starting to get more relevant. Tomoro's starting to piece it together.
Then we get Tomura looking ashamed and Kakumon bounces on his ass.
Love that. Tomura just, God. Yeah.
And then here's where the baby thing I think kind of falls flat. It just needs to get the Sapotama and then it's fine.
I think he's just like, that needs a little bit of energy.
Man, I don't know. That feels a bit flat to me. Like it's not an actual thing.
Because they never showed what happened to a Sapotama after he got his ass kicked. Like he just sort of held on to it.
I don't remember them showing it either. But I honestly thought I just missed it. But now that you're saying it, I'm like, I'm not actually sure they clarified it.
They ever showed it? Because I mean, Kaido didn't pick it up or anything. Yeah.
And then they have to protect Glowing Dawn, and they attack Marine Bulmon as Tomura flashes to everyone. They're not really doing a good job of stopping Marine Bulmon, just of note.
I mean, at this point, I don't know if Reyna's done anything, like, flashy at any point since episode, like, one.
She hasn't.
I don't think Wolvermon has. Yeah, Wolvermon is, like, 0 for the last 8.
And then Tomura, I like that Tomura is worried that he's just going to mess things up more with how the show has not wanted to point that out up to this point. It will say Tomura makes a mistake, but then Tomura learns his lesson, and then the next episode he's forgotten the lesson.
Look, he has severe ADHD, the memory is just shit, no object permanence whatsoever.
Yeah. And then here's where the flashback matters. Gekkomon wants him to tell him what's going on, mirroring what his brother said to him. And then we get Marine Bulmon commenting it wants to destroy stuff. And then they stop to explain that if you overflow some with E-Pulse, it goes berserk. And they say that right as we see a shadowy figure. Now, here's where we need to pause and point out that by the end of the episode, we'll get more from this shadowy figure than we got from, like, three of them in Ghost Game.
Yeah.
Which
and arguably Ekmon, too.
Then we get attacks from Wolvermon and Night Trotmon, but still nothing really happening.
Yeah.
And then Cougarmon and Kyo don't really do much either. And then Glowing Green from the attack. Gekkomon, I can appreciate his tongue foo.
And then, so hard.
And the fact that the Tung Fu is stronger than Wolvermon is starting to get a little tiresome, though.
It is. But also, like, it at least acts as something cool to see when
they keep finding cool ways to use it.
Yes,
though.
Especially since, honestly, the battles in Beat Break have not really been that great.
Pew 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 pew.
Like we get we get a cool few seconds of animations, and then nothing kind of happens with them. So I can at least appreciate when we get those cool moments. And then hey, Tomura has to jump in and save him because his E-pulse is gone. Question: when his E-pulse has been low before, it's never been low enough that we've gotten the like digital corruption effect on him, right? Has that shown up before?
I don't think that the corruption has happened due to an E-pulse lack now.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just figured, like, this is much lower than it ever been, but the show didn't really...
Yeah, he just flops over and...
Yeah, this is what lower I thought. To the point of, you know, exhaustion, unconscious. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wasn't sure because it's, like, really focused on his E-pulse being low before, and he seemed almost better now than we've seen him times when they said it was low, so I thought maybe I missed something.
I think that this is lower than it okay. had been in the
okay,
past.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was
like, there was Lois and I'm kind of hungry, and this is Lois and, like, famished about to die.
Okay. Then we get Tomro telling Gekkoman being with him reminds him everything he hates. We get flash hates about himself, flashbacks of his brother.
I do appreciate that they stayed consistent on that because, you know, after kind of the whole Makoto thing kind of set those standards, it's so easy to make that exception for, like, the main character because they felt like the timing needed to happen. And it's like, no, we're actually going to stick with that. The Tomoro needs to accept that, you know, the I am the shadow, the true self kind of Persona 4 nonsense is going to be, we are going to stick with that. And the Tomoro has to accept that Gekkoman's the part of him he really hates.
See, I feel like they always did stick with it. It was just he wasn't accepting that.
Yeah, Beat Break has, it's other shows, other seasons maybe not as, have not been as consistent on that front.
And then Tomoro thanks Gekkoman, says without him he wouldn't know Glowing Dawn, and he feels like he can be more honest with Gekkoman, which is an odd thing to say because at no point has that been true.
Yeah.
Like, I like the sentiment, but like, okay, when he thanks him, you know, he wouldn't know Glowing Dawn, that makes sense. The thing about Gekkoman lets him be more honest, that has not really been a thing. I think.
I mean, he showed him when he was lying.
I think what he means is it's someone he can talk to if he chooses to. And he's sorry. He's happy he met him. And then Gekkoman glows bright, as does Tomoro. Something to protect. Hey, the E-pulse is going in. And we get a proper insert song after 12 episodes. And a good insert song, which we'll talk about a bit.
Like, this sounds familiar.
Although I will say,
we heard this earlier.
Although I will say, this is where I don't know if it's an actual scripting thing or a translation thing. Pound the Beat seems like a weird choice when you think they go with Break the Beat.
Break the Beat comes later. Pound the Beat for one level and then eventually.
Boo.
Hang the drum harder.
Boo. And then evolution to Armalizamon. I like that it's a bit of a different look. I don't know if I like it as an adult slash champion, though. I like the look. It feels more of a perfect to me.
Perfect? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I have no... And I like the color inversion. I think that works better than... Green Lizard is such an overdone thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if the next one will be more of the blue in the color scheme.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
It'd be neat. But yeah, I like that it's a different look. I like that they have Kyo be happy that he found that Tomoro found his own answer. I like Armalizamon. It's just what I said. I wish that was a perfect level. Insert song fits well. Armalizamon cutting loose looks good. I wonder if it would look better if they had not done Gekkoman cutting loose 90 seconds earlier while he's in the midst of dying. And we also get a giant math laser, which is always good. And right through Marine Bulmon, which does feel like they... What was that?
Quick fight's a good fight.
Well, I was going to say, that does feel like we need a stop to comment on, like, so we don't know how powerful he was compared to Murasemon because they were already kind of fucked up. Wolvermon and Nightropmon, like, weren't that fucked up, and they kind of did fucking nothing.
That's consistent.
It is.
Yeah, but I guess they bullshitted it by saying, he's, like, overpowered with E-Pulse.
No, but,
Yeah,
they're going to cheat with Tomoro's E-Pulse is going to be the cheat here.
Yeah, I never got the impression that Nightropmon was designed to be all that powerful. Like, he was useful in that particular situation that he debuted in. But, like, his whole thing was, like, he has an attack that Makoto's not afraid of using. That's it.
And they didn't really,
they didn't really get into Reyna, and we haven't really gotten into Reyna's deal yet. So
they only got into her deal to comment on Tomro's deal, which may make which may make this the worst opening set of episodes for a woman in this franchise. Like, and that's saying something.
It's not as bad as Izumi, okay?
No, it may be, because Izumi had stuff to do in the opening stuff, even if it wasn't always great. Reyna almost has nothing to do.
It's still better than Izumi.
Yeah,
Izumi lost her fucking opening battle, okay?
I mean, Wolvermon looks more badass, but is at about the same level as Sunflowmon, though.
Yeah, I feel like this may be worse, at least for me.
It's no. No. Reyna is
and then hey,
so, so far showing to herself to be a better character than Izumi.
And then he's back to Gekkomon. Tomuro asks how he is. He's super. Which is nice that Tomuro actually asks. And Kaito isn't happy at any of this. Flaremon tries to stop Kaneda, who's the character who... And he's like, hey, it was an accident in Mirror World. It wasn't on purpose, which... we'll have more to say on that shortly.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that.
He's happy about the show. Kaito can't stand him. And then Gokuamon lands behind Kaito, which tells us who Kaneda's partner is and some further details. And it's time for
I have, like, the mutually assured destruction going on right there. Just like, I mean, yeah, you could have Flaremon, like, put a hole through me, but not before my Digimon kills you.
And then, five-star meeting time. Happy birthday to Asuka. Gekkomon matured a bit. Chiratmon is recording it for posterity for some reason. And Tomuro... Yeah, and he introduces Gekkomon to his brother as a family member. Good episode. Yeah. The growth.
This was such a weird one for
me.
The payoff of the arc, like this arc finale, it works really well because it's a culmination of all the things that's been building up, all the things we've been expected. They covered a lot of things we were really hoping they'd get to. As an actual episode, it's such a standardized evolution episode of like, oh, character has a crisis. There's a big threat to the team. Character pulls through and comes in.
I also feel like it's a little harmed by that. It feels like they did this so much with Tomuro that, yeah, maybe this time it sticks and we'll find out if it does or doesn't. But they did it by rote so many times in the first 12 episodes.
I mean, I think it's going to stick this time.
I hope it does. That's sort of the
idea of the evolution. Yeah. Like, okay, we're there now. We're good.
Yeah, I'm hoping. That's why, like, I want to see how Tomuro changes past here because that is now like a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see what happens with Tomuro now.
And then cast people. So, Genjo, who's one of the new characters, Hiroshi Kamiya, who's best known to Digimon fans as Koji in Frontier, Craniumon in Saviors, and Strabimon in Adventure 2020. Not going to go over all the stuff that I listed him, but the most interesting ones is he's the current voice of Ataru in Urusei Yatsura, and in dubbed over content, he's Pita in The Hunger Games. And Marine Bulmon is one of those where it's like, okay, this one... will be interesting. And I look up the name. I'm like, this is, it's not interesting. It's someone who's already there. It's Mi Sonozaki, who is Maki in Beat Break. She was Tailmon in all her forms in 2020, Lilithmon in Ghost Game. Very long career. We went over her just a few weeks ago, so we don't need to go over her again. Not much has changed since then. And then in 2 weeks, we get five-star meeting, episode 13. The show is on hiatus this weekend. That is also the beginning of the Tactics arc, which was just announced. So we get shiny new key art, which is very good. Some interesting choice in partners for some of the new characters. We get a trailer. And should we go over all these new characters? I
would rather introduce them as they come along, but
we're not going to go into them in detail. Just a few things. The first is the four members of Tactics, a little bit try too hard at making them not Glowing Dawn.
Yeah,
they kind of give me Biohybrids vibes.
It definitely gives me Biohybrids vibes.
I'm really
hesitant about this.
Also, the cast members for them. It's Ray. It's the younger version of Tomuro in Beat Break. It's Taiguru from Hunters and Dark Lizamon from Ghost Game.
Yeah, it's that though the Ivan from that Ivan from Savers.
Yeah,
that's the word.
Yeah.
Hybrid
and from. then we get the five star group. So we already met Kaito, and we already know is Yuichi Nakamura, who was Karasmon and Atmon, Ryuji and Hacker's Memory, Rivalmon in the Time Stranger Prelude. Honoka's Rei Kugamiya, who's been plenty in Digimon. Ikto and Savers, Ukulmon and O to the Beginning, and various others. Rose, some of these names are like not terrible, but some, like, I'm sorry, Rose Woodville. Who is Ryoko Shiraishi, who's Akari, Chibi-Kamimon, Mervamon, Opossumon. She's the player character in Redigitize. She's Sora in 2020, Yukiha in Survive, and Minervamon in Time Stranger. A lot of the cast members really are, who can we get in from Digimon to make this just slightly feel off? Not in a bad way. Clay Arslan is not someone from Digimon. Genjo, we went over. And Chairman Wong is Akio Atsuka. And can we appreciate they don't tell us shit about him?
At least give us a height, my dude.
No, they don't give us a comment from his actor, which, because if someone's played by Akio Atsuka, that's all you really need to know.
Well, he's also the chairman of World Union. That's
no, but what I mean is they make the quote short, they tell us he's there, but they don't give us information. They give us his face and a short quote that sounds threatening, but without detailing anything, which I find very interesting.
I can't wait for this guy to start punching Digimon on it. Like,
my main issue is every fucking one of these characters just seems a little too stereotypical, which I don't know if that's a setup or not. It feels like we're being played a little bit, especially the tactics group.
I just want the old man to, like, pimp slap song with his cane.
That's gonna happen.
I want him to be an action villain.
Too much of this just feels like setup to me. I don't mean setup as in they're setting up for something bigger. I mean, some of this is we're just being fucked with.
Hey, Dev,
is this going to be a subversion, or are they going to play this so straight that we're just going to want to scream?
Dev, no, just no thoughts. Who wins in a fight, Chairman Wong or Wolvermon?
Chairman Wong.
Yeah, that's not even a good question. Almost any of these characters, if you said if they were going to fight Wolvermon, would they win? We'd all go, well, if they're going to fight Wolvermon, it's probably yes.
Oh, no, I take Wolvermon over some of these people. Not their partners, but their people. Like, I think Wolvermon would take out Rose.
See, I feel like the design of Rose says something's going to be, it's going to be sneaky. Like, if she were to be attacked, she'd have a knife ready to go or something like that.
I think I'd still take Wolvermon with Rose with a knife, though.
Maybe.
Wolvermon's not melee.
Huge chunks of this cat.
Why did you give Wolvermon and Rose a knife?
Can Wolvermon hold a knife?
I don't know if Wolvermon can handle a knife. I mean, and Wolvermon's weaker with a knife.
So in 2 weeks we have, in theory, coming to a very different show, theoretically. And I'm very interested in that idea.
That scares me. It's like,
oh no! I'm interested in that I don't know if the exact show we've seen for the last 12 episodes. I don't think they could do that for another 30 plus episodes.
I don't, but I do like the emphasis on character and thoughtful evolution. And
I thought you mostly meant Tomuro learning a valuable lesson, then immediately forgetting it.
No, fuck that. I do want to expand the world a little bit, but. This all seems a little tidy to me. I think it all seems very structured.
I will wait to
take on the tactics squad. Then they're gonna have to take on the.
I will wait to see what happens. Stuff like the tactics squad being mirrors of them feels like something else is gonna happen because that's a bit too bland and vanilla, to be honest.
Yeah, that's my concern is that it's going to be bland and vanilla. Like it's just going to be a few. Like if this whole tactics arc is just kind of to kill some time until.
I hope I'm not giving them too much credit on that. Like I expect something else is going on, and it's not just we're going to get mirror matches for 12 episodes.
I should have more faith in them considering how the first 12 episodes were, but it's Digimon and they've let me down so many times.
The first 12 episodes have a lot of issues, to be honest.
They do have a lot of issues, but the
it's
core,
not Ghost
the
Game.
Foundation was good.
Well, no, here's the thing. By episode 12, we weren't convinced Ghost Game was falling on its face. It felt like it was having issues, but it was going somewhere.
Yeah, and Ghost Game went nowhere. We had a lot of potential after the first 12 episodes. And
in fact, I think this is like exactly when Bokomon died and we first properly met Galoose. I think.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't until like 10 episodes after that that we're like, oh, this is really going nowhere.
Yeah. So then V-Jump has a nice two-page spread of Beat Break, basically going over the first 11 episodes. And also some questions with the human cast after doing the Digimon ones last time. Solid answers. We're going to let people read them for ourselves. Nothing quite as like off kilter as the Digimon answers last time. We're like, at one point, I think was someone talking about Coffee Dev, or was that an interview somewhere else? Where they got distracted about talking about coffee and stuff.
I feel like one of them did start talking about coffee. Was it Rosamimon?
That may not have been V-Jump. That might have been somewhere else. But like, these are all very straightforward answers. But yeah, I don't remember who was talking about coffee and when, but it came up. And then I still love that we're getting so much production art. So we get from episode 11 some good character stuff. They give a nice one for Kaido, I have to say. Minus that haircut. We get the little battle thing at the end of the episode. And then, did you guys see the rock, paper, scissors? Okay.
No.
So, Mezumashi TV is a morning news program, and at times they premiered the 2020 footage, for example. One of their recent episodes, as segment transitions, they had various entertainers play rock, paper, scissors with the audience. So, like, they do their thing, and you're supposed to do it while watching. One of them was new animated footage of Tomura and Gekkoman playing rock, paper, scissors with the audience. And then they put the clip up on after. And then
I need to pull that up.
And then this is the... So they have Beat Break ad running in Times Square.
That I would never have expected.
So yeah, here's the thing. This is like a very, very clean, not con job, but like advertising in Times Square is not that hard. It's not even that expensive for a company. Almost no one sees the ad. They always just photograph or video it to show there's an ad in Times Square. Do you know what the ad actually is?
It's like a Crunchyroll thing.
It is. Potentially
even just Sony in general.
It is, but it's like 20 or 30 seconds every like 20 minutes. It's not like people think like if you go there and there's like a Beat Break ad.
Everything's in rotation.
Yeah. It's rotation for like a week. It's neat, but people think that it's like just running.
Because it's not like exclusively bad.
Like if you go there to see it, you may have
static in Times Square.
Yeah, that's what I mean though. People don't know that. They think that like it's a pseudo permanent ad for a few weeks. If you go there and you don't see it, you may have to wait around half an hour.
Yeah.
It's neat, but like this is very normal, especially for Toei actually loves running these for things. If they have a big show for the last 3 or 4 years, they've loved it for if they have a movie or a TV show going.
Still cool that Digimon was thought.
Oh no, it is. It's just not cool in the way that people are like, oh, the show has to be doing well. They're running an ad in Times Square, is what I mean. I'm trying to see the ads next to it. Although I will say, I like that they had the one vertical screen with the poster art. That I actually think looks cool. And then, music. So, we get Edge of Limit, which is...
Oh, I was looking at... I think that's the musical for Hell's Kitchen.
Okay, that's the one I was getting distracted looking at, because, like, yeah.
Hell's Kitchen, I think, is a new musical.
Okay, that makes sense, because I kept wondering, are they showing an ad for Hell's Kitchen? Is that airing right now?
Not the Gordon Ramsay show. I think that's a musical that's coming out.
So, new insert song, Edge of Limit. I like the song. I like that... It's already streaming worldwide. It was very easy to find various services. So the song was composed and arranged by Elisa Okehazama, who does the music for Beat Break. Vocals by Yagi Taro. They both had various comments to say. I like Okehazama is a Digimon fan, and she keeps putting little touches to Digimon throughout it and pointing it out to people.
That was delightful.
Like she even said she wanted it to sound like something Digimon.
And it certainly fucking does.
No, it really does. Although, honestly, I think I like the other song, Resonance, more, which that's the main instrumental theme that keeps playing. They did that as a double single with Edge of Limit, and having the full version of that's just really nice. Because that is very much an ongoing song and beat break that just sounds great. And I'm really happy to have it. They put up the Evolution clip, and they also put up a lyric video for Edge of Limit. I'm happy that's streaming everywhere. I mean, they did the same with Ghost Game in most of 2020. It's just nice that the music is just there if you want to go listen to it.
Yeah, it's not like you can only get a hold of it if you, like, summon something from CD Japan and pre-order it months ahead of time, yeah. And at some point it will teleport.
And then, to get more confusing, on Thursday they announced a Digimon Beat Break dub.
Fuck yeah!
They announced Risa Mae as Gekkomon, Xena Robinson as Tomuro.
The whole cast.
Oh, no, I know, but I'm talking about what they announced initially, because they announced it very different than what they did today.
Like, I have to go look at the... I just forgot I needed to look at the rest of the names.
Yeah, so then today, they put up a trailer, and then shortly after the trailer, the first five episodes will be up on Crunchyroll on Saturday.
Damn, that's fast.
They've been doing this for a while, then.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing, is a lot of people think they just started dubbing it. No, they've been doing this.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I assumed it was kind of going to be like a Ghost Game situation. It's like, we're announcing a dub. It's
Ghost Game is a wildly different situation, especially since that dub was never announced. We found out about it for various accidental reasons, but that was never something they announced. 2020, they definitely announced way before it came out. Ghost Game, technically speaking, I'm trying to think if they've even commented on it since it went up.
I thought they did.
They probably did. Especially Toei Europe definitely did. But I mean, But I mean, like, that was never something that was announced. It was just sort of there. We found out about it 10 different times for various reasons. But
yeah, I mean, I think they announced it. I think they might have announced it when it came out.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, there was no. This is coming. We found out because the BBC puts up their schedule early.
Yes.
Tomuro is Xena Robinson, Gekkomon is Risa Mae, Reina is Christina V, Pristimon is Lily Emile Lammers, Makoto is Brenna Larson, Chiropmon is Courtney Shaw, Kyo is Jalen Askins, and Murasemon is Corey Yee. So there's only
two. They
all
sound really good.
They do. My only issue is, since this is like an older trailer that's been repurposed, a lot of them don't necessarily talk as much as you would like in a trailer announcing stuff.
Yeah, see, I took that more as just a trailer to
promote. No, it was, but what I mean is like, for example,
I know what you mean, that you want to kind of,
more, but Xena Robinson was Tai, he was Galoo Skamamon, and now he's the lead again. He's often used in roles that he does not get to stretch, and I have concerns for him specifically because he can stretch really well. He's very often given like this is the general lead character, be the general lead, when he does much better when he has, like, I much more would want him to be Kyo, for example.
I'm trying to think of his, what his character in Big City Green sounds like, because that was a bit more of a stretch.
Yeah. I think he does better when he gets to
the
stretch.
The Owl House was pretty good, which was assuming, like, oh, hey, who would you have do these characters? Like, you know what, Xena Robinson would probably be pretty good with Tomuro, especially if he used, like, Hunter's voice.
I feel like if he weren't in 2020... I would be more excited for him being the lead.
Yeah. I mean, it's just leading another show.
Yeah. But we will see. I'd wanted him to be
a traumatized emo kid voice.
He does. Yeah. But he falls into that, is what I mean. Like, it's.
Yeah, he's getting typecasted.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's also, I think this is the first time an actor's been the main character in multiple Digimon seasons.
No.
Which is a little weird.
Nope. You're forgetting Matt.
It's main character.
He's Takuya. Okay, that's true.
Alright.
Yeah. Like, as you know, not to undercut Matt.
No, I get what you mean. You mean like the lead of leads.
I mean the Gogglehead.
Yeah. We'll see. In chat, someone said edgy voice, which... I don't know if that's good or bad at this point, to be honest, is part of the issue.
It sounded fine in the trailer. I was.
But good that's but that's the thing. Like we have, if you look at the announcement thing, they put up three clips of him, and he doesn't actually say that much. In like when they originally announced him being Tomro, there were three clips in that message, and he said maybe five words. Most of it was him screaming.
We know he can go there.
No, he can. But that's also what made me go, like, I would like to hear him as Tomro, not just Tomro getting hit in the head.
We'll find out Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. We will know very quickly. And I expect he'll be fine. I just, I want him to have more interesting roles. Because, like,
also, now there's two voice actresses that have to fight over the Gekkoman plushie.
Well, it's where whatever country it's in. Because one of my actual examples is Beckles was Matt in the reboot, and then he was Louie in the beginning, and those characters are nothing alike in, like, lead range type thing. So, yeah. And then, how did... So, AR, did you watch Digimon Times?
No.
Dev, did you watch Digimon Times?
Yes. Pretty much right after it started streaming, so there was no subtitles, but...
No, there wasn't. Now, to credit... 30 minutes is not bad. It was actually more like 20, I think. I call it 30 because it deals with a lot, but yeah, 20 minutes, so not bad. One second. Okay, there's been lots of stuff for that they cover. So Digimon Times is kind of just spread throughout everything, because technically that's even where like a lot of the Beat Break new arc stuff is from. So then we move on to Time Stranger. So first up, just to get out quickly, DLC Pack 1 was gone over in V-Gym, which we already talked about that a decent bit last time, so goodbye DLC Pack 1, you're dealt with. And then they announced the release of DLC Pack 2, Gakuran, which is the Banchos, and Hiroko. And the mysterious one extra slot, who we definitely do not know who it is. Wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge.
And I got it. I mean, it's not really a spoiler. It will literally upset some people because it is going to overshadow the Banchos. Do you know who it is?
I wonder which one of them is going to be for a Digiride.
No, I mean the extra slot for Digimon. Dev, do you know who it is?
No.
As far as we know, it's Merciful Mode. So, so after the Omegamon DLC pack, we get more Omegamon. This is included if you have the Season Pass, Deluxe, or Ultimate. It will be $12 if you don't. We have an English trailer from earlier today.
I did not see the English one.
I will say, a lot of people did not know most of these Banchos existed, because the number of people are like, is that another Rosemon? It's like, no, but close enough.
It's Banjo Lilymon.
Oh, I saw multiple people commenting, what's up with Rosemon? And it doesn't really look like Rosemon, to be honest.
No, I just...
No, it does not.
That's kind of fun.
So this will be out...
First exposure to Banjo Lilymon this way.
And this will be out next month.
Feels like she's been around for long enough.
But how much does she really show up in stuff, is the thing.
Not really, like, what's she been in?
What, like, just, like, TCG and, like...
You know what the funny part is? Do you remember that episode of 2020 when we honestly wondered if she might show up because of the episode?
Yes. There was a big Banjo-heavy...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they gave us a profile for Banjo Stigmon. Now, the interesting thing is, good art. And then... for the Steam Awards, Time Stranger got in for one thing, which is for Best Game on Steam Deck. Nominations are open until January 3rd. It is definitely not the best game on Steam Deck. It's not even it doesn't even run particularly well on Steam Deck.
Oh, really?
It's just there.
It runs fine. Me and Humulos tested it on Steam Deck. Multiple people were telling both of us they were able to get it to run 60 FPS. Any evidence either of us asked for was never given, down to, like, any basic information. Just, oh, no, it runs 60. It's like, no, it fucking doesn't. Absolutely fucking not.
I don't know what differentiates a best game from a best game on Steam Deck.
No, it's one of the awards. So, like, this is...
This is just the one that
people nominating were able to get enough votes to make it in the top 5 or 6 to get there, is what I mean.
Yeah, it just seems like a weird category. It's like, isn't that just... best game, or...
I believe the idea is it's meant to be best PC game that will actually work on a portable PC.
Yes?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so a game that doesn't use a mouse.
And then talk about weird things to have weird emotions about, Ghost Game is getting a Blu-ray box next year. I'm buying it. Yeah. I'm going to be only one of 10 people, but...
I was going to say, are you going to buy it just so you can, you know, pull it apart and make scans of it for the website?
I may not even scan it. Because, like, how old am I going to be pulling out the scanner to, like, scan the cover when we get half-decent images anyways?
Going to have it just so to keep the shelf inclusive.
Yes. Hey, I always said if Ghost Game had Blu-rays, I was going to buy it.
Hey, I own the dubs of Digimon Fusion. I know what you're talking about.
We get comments from Tamura Matsumi. The only question is, what does the box end up having? So it's going to have the whole show, obviously. The questions are, one,
opening and endings.
Do we get that terrible clip show special?
Yes.
I thought they did not dub that one.
They didn't, but remember, this isn't a dub. Though.
I know. I'm just saying it like they're more than happy to pretend that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And then, do we get anything new or worthwhile here? Like, for example, art, audio drama, anything?
I feel probably just some art to go around the box. That's probably about it.
See, I keep trying to go, it's 5th anniversary. They already have Tamura Matsumi giving comments. Are they going to do something stupid that involves... Arcturusmon. Because think about it, it feels like they could, like he's decided to be slightly good, do a 20-minute audio drama.
Yeah, I would not be shocked to see an audio drama here.
I wouldn't be shocked. I'm just trying to decide, 5th anniversary Blu-ray box for a show that didn't do that well, as far as we know.
No,
to the point that Toei's site for Ghost Game originally had a Blu-ray section that was waiting to be filled, and then it just removed it.
Yeah,
it's like we're not gonna throw something in there.
Okay. I know something that needs to be here. It needs to be either the box art or some sort of bonus poster. New art from Tenya Yabuna.
Yeah.
He needs to draw a tail maneuver.
I feel like there has to be something from Tenya Yabuna, is where I stand.
I just want to make sure we don't forget about tail maneuver.
I don't think anyone will. And then
I haven't thought about tail maneuver in 6 months. So and then, I'm just glad for the reminder.
Liberator web novel chapter debug 25 daybreak. So AR, you haven't been around for a bit. Me and Dev have kind of like fallen out of love with Liberator. It clearly is like just on fumes at this point.
Okay. The web novel is dragging, really.
Yeah.
I was never that impressed with the
comics, but it was an interesting story. Even if it wasn't necessarily great, it was fun to read. Now it's like every chapter is like, and here comes the climax. And not like us going, here comes the climax. The story tells us it's about to end, and it just doesn't. So we get Dalphomon explaining, it comments on its own choices, and then we move to Cool Boy. Does Cool Boy showing up for the first time in front of everyone, like, does nothing happen there? Like, I'm so fucking confused by that. Like,
You think it would be more of a big deal considering everyone was, like, going out of their way to try and hunt his ass down?
No, like, that's the thing. They came to the world to find Cool Boy. He shows up, and, like, everyone's sort of just like, okay, hey, it's Cool Boy. Yeah. It's like, and then he brings up Zenith being an asshole, probably, but he's like, it'll be fine. The others will deal with him. And it's like
he'll
weird.
Beat the shit out of him with the power of friendship.
That's, like, weird because, like, the weird, like, boss manipulator, like, good guy who doesn't trust anyone. It's just like, yeah, it'll be fine. Then Dalphamon going over there. Options. Mistymon's the most interesting one here. Because it comments on its flaws and that trying to be better is not necessarily easy. And Yuki just starts yelling shit out. Impmon kicks her.
I feel like it'd be more productive if it just went back to Mistymon and Altea just playing cards game in jail.
Probably, but... Oh, AR may not know that was an actual, like, half chapter.
Good. That sounds fun.
Yeah, to me, the chapter's...
That's the most fun thing I've heard so far.
Yeah, this chapter is kind of bland to me. I think the last bit with Yuki asking Dolphamon a question, that actually hits perfectly. And I think that, like, was perfect in 10 different ways. The problem is the rest of the chapters was not great.
Okay. I stand by my decision.
Year one, Liberator was honestly, it wasn't great, but it was enjoyable. Year two, the first half was fun until you realized they weren't going anywhere with it. Like, Shoto has barely shown up. It's like just buying time until they get to the end stuff.
It always did strike me as like it, for the format, it did have a ton of characters.
Yes, and now they're just like writing out the more interesting ones, so the characters, yeah. Like the one that I think annoyed me and Dev the most was, Close gets controlled, and then she's the villain for a card chapter as they battle her, and they have to remind her who she is. Blah 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 blah. Close goes off to figure out what's going on. The next chapter, so you have Close as the main character. Guess who she has to battle?
Close.
They have Unchained show up looking like Close as the enemy for a month after a month of Close being the villain. They did this in a row. And then, because we only get to mention it once every few years, it's the 20th anniversary of Digimon Next.
Hey, Digimon Next. You exist.
Yeah. I'd buy it if they would reprint the motherfucking thing.
Please give it a nice, sexy digital release.
Here's the funny thing. Now is the time to do it, because Takeshi Okano is more famous than he's been in years. Because they're doing the new anime based on his big franchise. Hellteacher Noob. And that show's been doing pretty decent as far as I know. So, like, do a new printing and slap on from the creator of Hellteacher Noob.
Just or do like a digital release and then throw in some, you know, fun exclusive extras.
That requires effort.
Not that much effort.
And then they announced Digimon Con 2026. It will be in March, late March. We get key art with Gekkomon, Agumon, Gemmon, and Agumon. I feel like if they time everything right, what they should be doing is the DLC pack 2 should be late January, and then the third pack should be like a week or two before this. Because here's the other thing, AR, how much have you kept up on Time Stranger stuff in general?
A little bit, not a whole lot. Like, I did buy it, finally. Yeah, but
we've avoided spoilers, minus on the first DLC pack, because do you know how much depth there is to it?
Not much.
I ran around looking for items, like not just like rushing through it, but actually like going, oh, an item, I'm going to go over and grab it. And my time was like 1 hour and 7 minutes.
Oh boy. Okay.
And the story was basically just the story from V-Tamer. Like, oh, Perelmon's being a bitch. He's kidnapped some kids and here's some Digimon.
All right.
And at the end like of the,
it really is a single chapter.
Yes. And from what we can tell, the story for part two is going to be, hey, a different Perelmon has kidnapped some kids, and here are some Digimon. And also, here's a parallel version of a main character to walk around with you.
Chapter 3 is we're going to make the two Perelmons kiss.
No. Chapter 3, as far as we know, Chapter 3 is some Digimon are here, Perelmon has kidnapped some people and some kids. Here's an alternate version of some main characters to walk around with you.
I like my idea better.
Yes, so do I.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, as far as we know, it is just, that is what it is. Like, Perelmon is just the bad guy in each one. And it's apparently a different Perelmon doing the exact same thing. And the first one comments on this. To such a degree, when they actually worded it that way, I went, did he die or not? Because it looked to me like he teleported away. And apparently that was just the death animation to the point that I did not know he died. Like, when we were recording the podcast, I'm literally asking chat, like, did he actually die? Or was that just a teleport animation? They're like, no, he died. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I didn't get that from watching, but thank you for letting me know. So this is both more interesting and less interesting than people think. It's all Digimon are here project. So first up, just because people have asked, no, it's not going to be all Digimon. No.
Good God.
They're not doing it. Here's what this is. This is basically an extension of what they were doing last year, where they were doing 25th anniversary anime stuff, where it was Adventure and Friends products. This is basically an extension of that, but it does not have to be anime.
I like key art for it.
It's very good. So this is the first art. They say it's Agumon and others in an American comic style. The panel sort of, I'm not sure it really feels like comic art to me. Maybe Mugenjamon and Lugamon.
It's stylized and it's paneled. That's,
yeah. So
also that Digimon logo is better than the one they're currently using.
Yeah. That logo's fucking terrible. And I like at the time, I don't think you were here for it, AR. I pull up the logo for Dev in chat and point out other flaws with the logo that no one's noticed. And Dev was just getting more and more like angry at the logo. This actually looks much better. Although this is also another time when they're very much trying to ape the English logo.
It works. And no, it really looks does. Good.
So they should.
No, they absolutely should. They've also said there will be future illustrations with a wide variety of diverse illustration styles. They've talked there will be a collaboration with a shopping mall involving the art in some fashion, with details to be announced later.
When it says shopping mall, do they mean one like in Japan or other countries?
There was the collaboration they did with that one mall where like you could go around the mall and there were standees. And there was also a little shop and everything. Basically, think of it as a pop-up shop, but also like with the event stuff where you go around and do stuff. Also, looking at this art, am I wrong? Or does Terrymon actually look the worst? Which is very odd for Terrymon in art.
I think it's just the way that his hands are.
I was going to say the way his head and body were angled looks odd to me.
I think the Patamon looks weirdest to me.
You're not
like
wrong.
That's a weird angle for Patamon.
You know what the Patamon looks like? That one toy where it basically had wheels underneath it, and you basically just pull it back and he kind of rolls forward.
Yes.
It looks like that.
Yeah.
I'm not enthralled with the Vemon either, to be honest.
What situation would Vemon be in that pose?
Oh, like, see, I assume that's a jumping headbutt. That's him doing V head.
But I don't think he'd jump like that if he was attempting a head. That looks like a vertical and not a charge jump.
To be fair, Vemon is not always the smartest character.
That's true.
He has one brain cell that's dedicated to one.
I only really have issues with one piece of art here, like real issue. Can you guess who? Lugamon. Do you know why?
Because
it looks like generic ass flip art.
Yes, that's the reason why. If you told me this was art we already had of Lugamon, I feel like I've seen this image of him before.
Yeah.
That's not an issue with the art. It's an issue with the art being there. And then, to get more confusing, hey, Digimon Fusion's going to be on Hulu in a month.
Did they ever dub the second half of it?
They dubbed Crossword. They did not dub Hunters.
They didn't dub Hunters. They did dub the Dark Generals arc.
Yeah.
Okay, I for some reason I thought they never even... finished that one.
Novel. The first half, I appreciate the first half of Fusion just for being like this really retro comfort food kind of, oh yeah, this is how they used to make dubs.
All
the wonkiness of it. The second half, when the Dark Generals kicks in and everything's like it's supposed to be really serious, it's far harder to appreciate.
See, I have some ups and downs on this, so I'm going to go with downs versus one. It's not a very good dub. It just isn't.
No,
but also like the number of people who have grown up at this point are like and are very excited to see this. I'm very happy for the people who like got into the show because they saw Fusion. Far more of them than you would expect, because we kind of forget this did air on Vortex, which replaced Kids WB.
I thought it was on Nick. I thought it ended up on Nicktoons.
It was, but it also did end up airing on Vortex, as far as I know, it did.
Okay.
One second. Let me double check. Because Saban bought the time when 4Kids left.
I mean, there was enough merch of it.
Okay, yes, it did. Yes, it did air on Vortex.
I have a bunch of Fusion branded merchandise, so it must have done
still
something.
Find it at conventions. Pretty readily.
It aired on Vortex for about the last year that Vortex was there through the end, basically. So the last year of it. So yeah, so it did make it there. Fusion's weird because it had very wide distribution, and then as the rights vanished, that was just it. So, like, it vanished from Netflix in 2019, 2020 it vanished from digital storefronts, and that's around when the DVDs went out of print, and that's it. So, this going back up once, so it'll be dubbed. It should be in HD because there are HD masters for this. And Digimon Fusion is actually unique among Digimon TV content. It is the only Digimon TV stuff that actually has a full 5.1 mix. So we will see if they put that up for 2.0.
He'll appreciate that opening. And
I would not be shocked if the opening was just 2.0. No, I mean, because
with that 10 auto tune, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah, so good. I'm very happy it's being there. At some point, I have to watch through it again just to get reacquainted with it because it has been a long time. It was not a dub I found pleasant.
It's a product of 10 years before its time, and I...
No, see, that's the thing is like
wild.
See, that's what I don't think where it works for me is if you compare it to the actual Digimon dubs that Saban Entertainment did, this just does not, it's like 10 years before that.
It's there's points where it needs to talk about some serious issues, and it does fall short of, what 02 and Tamers were doing.
And not only that, but, directed by Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who directed Tamers and Frontier.
It's all the people that you're rooting
for. It just falls flat, completely.
Matt Mercer's in it.
Yeah, I forgot that. Okay, so moving on from Fusion, because we've talked about Fusion too much. Well, no, okay, so just to stop before we move on, because chat's it's strict rules from Nickelodeon. So we're not talking about content. The quality of the dub is not that good. We're not talking about, edits. The actual energy just does not work for me personally. That's not
sounds off very flat.
Yeah, that's not an editing thing. The actual quality of the work just does not feel up to snuff for me. If someone else likes it, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying for me, it feels... Bleh.
For the actual content, I think the first half is better than the second half. I think the first, the first few episodes, they put enough into it. I think that it does lose steam as it goes along.
See, that may be what I remember, to be honest.
I thought that the initial performances were very good, and then just kind of as it went along, they just kind of got tired with it.
Maybe. I may just be mixing up in my memory what it was, because that's what I remember. But yeah. And then... two episodes of Terrymon Assistant Lab. First was, they go over evolutions from the history of Digimon on TV. This was from about a week and a half ago. And then, there's not really much to say with that one, honestly.
If you've seen evolutions before, you've seen it.
And then, this is the one that's disappointing, because they do what they call the Great Gathering, which is going over Digimon producers and managers for 2025. They don't put this... this is not one of the ones you do without subtitles.
Yeah, there's only so much I can...
They point out there's a bunch of Digimon, there's stuff here that you look at and you're like, oh, I forgot this is the same year. I really hope subtitles go up soon, because it's when you look at the list and just the few bits of English, it's like, oh yeah, Adventure Beyond was this year, they announced Digimon Beat Break at the same time, we got the Color D3, there's all kinds of neat shit, but translate it, damn it. And then, ready for card potpourri?
We must.
So first up, Diablomon / Diabolomonix. Can we point out, really weird, it's almost more heroic than villainous, this art.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the really bright colors.
Yeah, the parallel art does the bright colors really well.
I feel like this the guy needs to fight Zwart.
Probably.
Ooh, that'd be fucking cool.
Then, Gilmon and Gromon / Growlmon. These are very much Time Stranger reference ones. I like the Gilmon one better. The Gromon one, something
just
about...
pissed.
No, but also, does the neck seem too large?
Yeah.
It's, a bit weird. Then Megalo Gromon / War Gromon and Megadramon. Megadramon is one where, I'm sorry, but, what is with, the potato-sized giant head? We get his body, and then he gets a weird cartoon head. I don't dislike it. It just does not
NXT style.
It just does not feel. Yes, that's exactly what it feels like. NXT Edge. I don't know. And then we get Piccolomon / Pixiemon getting ready to stab someone. You'd think that would be a joke, but it really isn't.
I must.
And then we get Homeros with parallel / alt art. The weird one is the first one. That's the outfit. But, that is not the personality of the character. Her being there coherent. The second one where she's drinking tea and she's fucking asleep, that is the character I remember from the game.
God, I wish that were me.
Then, Sunoman, I'm not commenting on this. I really like the art. It's a great moment from the game. I'm not commenting on it further because that is really, really, really spoilery.
Charge!
Then Asuna. So, her basic art we get, you know, anime star.
It's basic.
The parallel art, am I wrong? Or does this feel like the opening of an anime where someone's standing in, like, the city and they turn towards the camera but are also ass towards the camera?
Yes. This is it's very classic boob and butt shot.
Yeah.
But this is an Escher Girls shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get Hizyarumon, who, because AR is here and he loves Digimon Seekers, it's drawn by Karika Hajime, who was the artist who did the Witch of the Crossroads manga. Also, this is really fucking good art.
Everything about it, like although the weirdly, colors, the shininess of the armor.
Although weirdly, am I wrong, or does he not actually have a charging laser attack like that?
He does now.
Does in our hearts.
And then, so we get Oryumon. So this is more. This is Hajime again. I like the art. Am I wrong, or is this way too complicated? What is happening?
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah,
yeah. That end, the main focal point is covered by sample text.
Then we get Tamer Card, the Crossroad Witch, which manga styled art of the younger version of Yulin from the manga. Not from the
blonde before. Or am I going crazy?
She was light brown, but the kind of stylized art was more blondish.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that this is not the manga artist, so this is someone's interpretation of the character. Then we get Hajime's art of her, which is the throne. Am I crazy, or is this one of the best pieces of art we've gotten in the card game, period? The parallel
pretty much. It's fucking glorious.
Yeah, like...
And also, really loving, like, the little pendulum X in there.
And also... Well, remember, she had it in the comic.
Yeah, but it's just, like, the way it's kind of, like, floating in the air, kind of.
This is... Ever since Try, they've loved doing these shots. But yeah, this is one of the better pieces of art. And do you love Ryudamon, who's just like, I'm here, too? The only thing I'm not sure of...
Give me Muppet vibes.
The only thing I'm not sure of, this is where someone will need to correct me, I don't... Like, maybe it's just that it's been a while. Is she way more associated with water here than I remember? I don't remember this. And I... Because the first card art of her has,
maybe
like, water...
Maybe it's just with the aesthetic.
Well, no. The first card art has... the non-parallel has, like, water splashing around also. I just don't remember this being, like, a thing. But to be fair, that was, like, two chapters of manga a year ago. I just may be forgetting. I just don't remember this being a thing. Then... another Sunomon, Elecmon, and parallel art for Elecmon. Gee, I wonder who this character is. And also, two and a half of these are key scenes from the game. The parallel art's really fucking good. Really good. Then we get Agiomon parallel art. I love the wandering through Central Town. Agiomon seems so excited here, doesn't he? It's so good. Then Hiroko gets a special parallel card. I love it that she's using her fucking selfie stick from the game.
I even noticed that. Really good.
Yeah, if you look carefully, you can actually see that it's the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in frame.
The effect... this is one of those where you look at the card and go, it's not that great. Like, it's nice art, but it's not textured or done anything with it. And then you see the physical card in the photo, and it just...
Goddamn.
Yeah, it fucking pops. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The same for the special parallel card of Dan Yuki and Kanan Yuki. Definitely pops with the texture. I don't feel like it's as good as the Hiroko card, though, honestly. Then V-Jump has various card previews for the booster set. Sorry. And also, next month, the physical version of the magazine will have an AGO Chumon promo card. That is coming as a... They already announced that in the US, the English version. Was it last week, Dev?
I remember we were looking at the artwork last week.
Yeah, I think that's when they announced it was. It's going to be for February at events. It's just going to be a bonus card given away. Then we got more previews of EX11, so we get Sangomon's very good. I love Shelmon has, like, no look on its face. It's like, well, this is happening.
Yep.
Ryugumon, very nice painting. I don't know how well it works as card art, though. This feels like something you'd buy on a can badge.
That's
more horizontal.
Mini poster or something.
Then parallel art of Ryugumon, her with Yao, which I think looks great. I love the water, effect.
Lighting. Yeah.
Then we get basic art of Yao in the south of the manga. This looks like she's fucking plotting. And then we get very anime-esque cartoony art of her Sangomon as the pale art. This one I really like.
Yeah.
They're just having a nice time.
Then AD1 is a lot of reprints. So XVmon, Stigmon reprints, Paledramon reprint. We get Paledramon with a gold border. And then we get parallel art for Stigmon and XVmon. Which is new art in the style of O2, and it actually does panorama together. Although, if you look carefully, the main part that you see is just a tiny bit of XVmon's horn on the right side of Stingmon's.
Oh, I see that now.
Now, a number of people wondered if this is a screen cap card. It is not. This is new art.
No, that's too clean for.
Yeah, like this is not how this is how 02 looks in your head. This is not how 02 actually looks.
You would know.
Also, the colors of those digivices are not how the Jogress ones actually look in the show. Like the bright.
I don't think they. In the show, I also don't think they did full body. I think it was more like top half.
Well, you don't see them on the shot at all.
Yeah.
The kids never appear on the Jogress shot. Yeah.
I think you see their heads.
No. You don't see. Not what I mean is you don't see their heads in the actual like Jogress sequence.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so AR, I don't remember if you were around for this. When Booster Set 21 came out and they, like, did worldwide scheduling, the first set had two cards in English, Japanese, and Chinese that were actually different between the sets, but only for the parallel cards. So they're now giving you a chance to get those in different versions as dash packs. So if you spend a bit during the campaign, you get one card at random. So good luck for the six that people want.
I have a couple of Atmon in my collection now, so I'm content. I don't need to hunt for Gaiamon.
Do you have a Gaiamon? Like, is it that you have it and you're happy with it and you just don't need another, or do you not need Gaiamon?
I'm saying that I have picked up a couple packs and I have some Atmon. Not necessarily the ones I want, but I have some Atmon. Yeah. I know that they exist.
And then, this is all the same day in Japan. In the English version, the dates are a bit spread out. So, started at 23 Beat Break, which is centered around Gekkomon and Tomuro, but with also other Digimon from Beat Break for Starter Deck. Saver Starter Deck the same. Am I wrong, or were we getting better Starter Deck names before this?
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not imagining. And then.
These feel pretty basic.
Booster Set 25 Dual Revolution. That's a good name. So yeah, are we really not going to get Beat Break characters until May? That feels like a mistake.
Yeah, that's not. That feels like.
I mean, that way it feels like they could probably put in like a full evolution.
But
line.
It's still. Yeah. Do you think
that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, you'd feel like they should do like a promo pack or
they
something
should.
Now.
Yeah. And then products. So first up, the various Digimon stuff that Brugula has been announcing for a bit is up to pre-order, which is mini wall scrolls, mini acrylic stands, and the graphic shirts. We talked about the shirts. They're great. Volume 2 of everything else will be out soon, so all the characters. I like the outfits. These seems like good casual wear for them in the show.
Very comfy.
Not that I'm expecting these to show up in the show, but it feels like they should.
No.
I mean, it would be good promotion for the products.
And that so funny thing.
I don't mind when the products go beyond the show and
no, neither do I. But like, there's sometimes.
Although the show needs to give Makoto better clothes. Yeah. So
interesting one is a lot of times I will see stuff and it'll be a couple hours before I can get to it because work life blah 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 blah. But I'll be aware, and then sometimes someone will pop up going, "How long have we known about this?" It's like, "No, we only found out about this an hour ago. Last night it was Dev." Where she's like, she's like, this skateboard art's neat. She, like, did you write an article and I missed it? I'm like, no, this has only been up for like 30 minutes. And I just have not had time to write anything yet because I have stuff to do. I go, thank you for showing me, though. It's always possible I will miss this stuff. So Bell House announced Digimon Beatbreak products for early next year with the theme of skater. They will ship in February. Pre-orders are open at Bell House and Animate. Looks like pre-orders will close in January. Art is great.
The next series of Skate the Infinity looks hard.
Also, can we point out this actually fixes an issue, Dev, that we've both had with a lot of the art, which is the Digimon sometimes do, like, minus Gekkomon, the Digimon are kind of just there.
Yeah, like just pasted on.
Yeah. Like this one, if you look at like the wide art for like the acrylic keychains, even Marasimamon has a skateboard. They're, like, this is what
does
we were...
have a skateboard.
Yeah, like this is what we were... me and Dev have complained about this a number of times. We're like the one where they all had fast food. You have Gekkomon eating and like one other character's holding a bag and that's it.
And here we've got Chirapmon toes over the edge.
Yeah, like it feels like he's about to do a kickflip or something.
Yeah.
So, I love this one so much.
No, so do I. Like, that's why. So acrylic keychains, can badges, acrylic cards, acrylic stands, clear files, and easy fit posters. These are the ones where they have like the weak adhesive so you can move them around and shit. And the posters, you actually get two each. So you get them. Yeah, so you get two posters with each with the same characters but in different formations. You know what the funniest part is? If you look at this, I feel like this is one of the first bit of art where Reyna is actually like integrated into it really well. And so is Kyo, to be honest.
He looks like he's enjoying himself.
Gekkomon's Gekkomon's
about to like break a leg or something.
Gekkomon's really enjoying himself.
Just the can badge, Tomoro just looks like he's confused and doesn't know why he's here.
To be fair, oh wow, I just realized, okay, weirder, they put Reyna right side up.
Reyna's upside, yeah.
Like, the art is supposed to be, like, her doing, like, a trick. Actually, that the more I look at that pose, the more that breaks down, so let's move on. That pose really does not work.
Yeah.
The more I look at that pose, because I thought she was doing, like, a flip trick, but she's not. She's standing on the board, she's just, like, leaning. That's fucking weird. That's not a good one.
Yeah. They think the button or the can badge is better.
Yeah.
It's a better angle.
And then they announced plushies. So first up, Chibi Garumi plushies. Yeah, me and Dev kept going like, plushies. These aren't big plushies, to be fair. So Tomoro, Gekkomon, Kyo, and Marasimon will appear in Crane Games in spring. What's funny is I feel like only two of these characters look accurate, at least to me.
Yeah, Tomoro looks good.
Gekkomon looks great. Kyo's a little too super deformed. And Marasimon, does it feel like they completely redesigned him for this?
I think they had to.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's the head. You know what it reminds me of? Not exactly, but the cursed Goomba Agumon keychain.
Oh, God.
Goomba.
Like, if you reposition the eyes a little bit, it'd be less terrible.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. And then they also announced mascot plushies for Gekkomon, Pristimon, Trotmon, and Kukrumon. Now, I only have one issue. They announced these, like, in a row. Do they look like the same fucking thing? Not, like, the same designs, but, like, they're both tiny plushies on keychains. I would have spread this out.
They're just using clip art, so, like... Are they...
See, I'm not sure it's clip art. I think that's just the silhouette is done up as, like, the 2D sample art. Because you would draw it before you'd make the actual design. So I think they just flattened that. And then...
I can visualize what these look like.
And now the real reason AR wanted to be on, he wanted to talk about having a pop-up shop near him.
I was just at this place 3 weeks ago.
So it's the Mitsuha Marketplace in Arlington Heights. This is where the card game pop-up was a year ago.
Yes.
It's
I never went, but I had people.
It's open up until February. If this is like the one that was it San Francisco, Dev? Where was the one that was like a few months ago?
It wasn't the UK one.
No, not the UK one. There was one in San Francisco, which was kind of boring, to be honest, as far as everyone who went there. Like, it was basically just a few shelves of Digimon stuff, and that was it. So, AR, when you go, you have to get us good photos.
Anyone's posted anything about like what they're actually selling there yet?
I have not look that deeply because I've been very busy, to be honest. Like the last one, someone was like, I'm going, would you like photos? I'm like, yes. And they sent me photos. So like the day after it opened, I had like high resolution photos ready to go. Here, I have not really been looking.
I have to find an excuse to go to Chicago is the thing. It's really hard to justify going to Chicago just for this.
You could get that horrible pizza I showed you. Did you actually watch the video?
That's more downtown, and this is.
Watch that video?
I did, and I.
What do you think about that cheese? That looked terrible, didn't it?
Yeah, fucking cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And then to finish off V Jump, so they're doing lucky bags where you get products of various Digimon merchandise starting January 9th. Agumon, which will be, this is like 80 with current conversions. Hooded towel, big drawstring bag, stuffed slippers, can badge, sticker, Omegamon's a bit more, shirt, tote bag, paper knife, can badge, and sticker.
That's actually pretty cool.
That paper knife has been like 3 or 4 different places, and it keeps selling out, and they keep making more of them. That thing keeps showing up. They go over the recently
announced. We all just want to stab something.
They go over the Beat Break pop-up shop, which we already. I still like that art, but like, that's another example of like, hey, the Digimon are there.
Yep.
Dev, am I wrong? Did we both like wonder why is Marasimon holding like a bag of food?
Yeah.
And they finished with Terrymon Assistance Monthly Research Diary. This time, what kind of monsters Parallelmon? Which is hilarious because they show the stuff from V-Tamer, which is basically just what he does in the game. They don't like really mention the game that much, which is weird. And then Weekend Potpourri. So first up, reference book updates. We get Fukumon, Mokokomon, Tomorimon, Onibimon, and Armalizumon.
And all then, the babies, and then
all the babies, and
then 30 minutes before the show, they did a reference book update having the new pendulums with Kakamon, Fujimon, and Takinmon. That fucking cow, man. So yeah, so a lot of reference book updates in the past week and change. Armalizumon looks good. That is a real classic Kenji Watanabe style Digimon, but with the spikiness of Asmaria combined as one. We get images of the shop from the Toei Animation Museum, them showing various Digimon stuff they have. Also, and people who have been to the shop point out this is actually very common, if you look at the products, do you notice anything? Agumon and Tai Chi are gone, as is Omegamon. People who've been to various shops in Japan say this actually happens more than you would think, where those characters just like get swarmed, basically. So not really a shocker there, but still. Looking at all the Otodama, I think the one that's most important to point out is if you look at Jellymon, she looks like she's upset she's there. Where she's like bottom middle, and the face is like, why am I here with all these people? Then they put up a few promo clips before the episode of Beat Break aired as teasers, encounters with Digimon, and collection of main characters evolving to adult. Photos of Jump Festa, which had very nice Digimon showing off, and little shop and everything. Dev, we thought they were just going to have like the character like posters as acrylic things. I like that they're big giant photo things.
It is cool.
Also, this is why we got that Marasimon poster a week ago, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember us going like, there's really no reason like they've released this poster at this point. It's because it was going to be there and they had to show it off first.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Then they had the Gekkomon mascot for photos and they gave away chopsticks. And I've yet to see if the chopsticks actually have anything other than the container. I would like to believe they printed something on them, but I assume you're right.
I get it because it just looks like just regular.
I would like to believe they're cool. We get card game art with Murray trying to escape from her partner. The 25th anniversary of Digital Card Arena. That's one to get some art from.
I like how it's just slightly pixelated.
They've done this with a number of cards.
It has like a CRT filter on it.
They've done this for a number of retro games where they clearly don't know what to do for them to make them more unique. So they're like, just add pixels.
Yeah.
Then, outside of just the like the promo ones, Risa May posted a photo showing that she had the Gekkomon promotional plush for a photo. And that is a long... that's the type of thing where I have to assume there's actually someone in the room whose only job it is to watch that plushie. Like, I'm not making a joke. I assume there actually is someone there whose job it is to make sure that does not vanish.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I absolutely.
In fact, I kind of wonder if they took this photo. Because I'm like looking
at it away from her.
No. I'm looking at it. I'm going, I wonder if this is one of the rooms at New York Comic Con. Because they had Megumi Han there, and she had the plush with her for photos and everything.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is then. Then we got some beat break art and photos from the episode. So character designer Takira Kojima, he posted art of Cougarmon. This was before the episode aired. He was not available to post at the time. He's done this a few times. Akimini Aki did motion capture for the episode. That's some very nice art of young Kyo. Although, does he not look quite young enough?
Maybe spot on.
He's just angy.
Digimon TV posted an artistic version of a key scene from later in the episode. Although I don't think they said who drew it. It's very nice, though.
Yeah. It's so heartwarming.
And Megumi Han posted a photo of the Otodamas with her TV behind it. Okay, chat, time for you guys to throw up questions, as we do the ones that were sent ahead of time. Some stuff with the high amount of anime remakes the last few years, which Digimon series do you expect to get a remake, reboot, redo next? You won't like the answer, because I think all three of us will have the same answer. Adventure.
Yep.
Adventure.
Like, if Digimon hits the point where it has to do another remake, it's going to be Adventure.
Yeah.
You know what I would like to see, but they probably won't do it? A kind of like 2020 version of 02.
I think a lot of people want to see that. I don't know. Because it's such a different contextually of what stuff is.
I mean, I think that...
Well, I just want to see like the 02 cast, like new designs and also an update Kaiser.
I don't mind seeing the new designs. I just don't think that story... I think that story... Yeah, even those characters work even worse with the 2020 style than the Adventure Kids did. And that Adventure Kids didn't really work with the 2020 style.
We'll see. And then someone asked, what are your plans for Christmas? Get good gifts for anyone, assuming they don't listen to the podcast to hear this.
Everybody I bought gifts for is in the house right now, so yeah. I will be quiet.
Best gift that I got for my niece and nephew, I cleaned up one of my old Switches, bought new controllers, bought gift cards for... What's that one exercise adventure game?
Ring Fit.
Yeah, Ring Fit. That's the one. I bought the leg strap things. I bought a new dock for it and everything. Yeah, so we'll do that, yeah. And going to brother's house for Christmas.
My brother canceled the party, so we're not really going anywhere.
Dev's gonna bury herself in popcorn.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to the in-laws in Minnesota, on Wednesday.
Okay. Would we like a light novel based on Beat Breaker Atmon?
I like light novels.
As long as they're good.
Yeah, I get... I'm trying to think, like... Do I really want an Atmon follow-up as a novel at this point? The answer isn't no. It's more, I think that one may be more interesting to not be told for sure what happens next.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Atmon, it's been... The time...
10 years!
Isn't great for Atmon. It kind of
from a different perspective, not necessarily a sequel.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I think that Atmon, the follow-ups for Atmon don't really work as well. But, yeah, in its time, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, that time's going to be next year. That's 10th anniversary. If you're not doing something then you're kind of not.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance we get a Hacker's Memory-style Time Changer game? If there were, I wonder what you'd like to see them polish. Since I remember being discussed how Hacker's Memory fixed up Cyber Sleuth stuff. I don't think it's a bad idea. I really want them to stop using that fucking engine because it clearly is not, working anymore.
I was going to say, could they just do something new with a better engine instead of just Hacker's Memorying it?
See, the problem is I don't know if I expect a Hacker's Memory. In my head, I keep coming back to they could do Cyber Sleuth Remake, just do Cyber Sleuth exactly what the Time Changer engine, be like... hey, the game came out over 10 years ago. Now it's next gen. There's double or three times the amount. It's not what I want, but it feels like something they would do.
I want redigitized so badly.
But yeah, something Time Stranger with that same engine to get something out within a year or two does feel like something they could do. I don't know if I expect it, but it does feel like something they would do. Let's see. With the next arc of Beatbreak being Glowing Dawn versus Tactics, do you think by the end of that we will get a new member for Glowing Dawn just to prepare for fighting against the Five Stars in a five versus five arc? I think at this point we don't really know what the next arc is, to be honest. Like, they bring up Tactics a lot, but with bringing up the Five Stars so much, I'm not convinced that's going to be as minimal as people think.
Yeah, it's hard. It depends on what tactics. Like, if Texas is going to be 10 episodes of them fighting Tactics on and off, it's kind of dull. I mean, it's pretty even money that somebody from Tactics is going to end up a regular good guy. Maybe not a full Glowing Dawn member, but just an ally.
Or guest stars from, like, other cleaners or other characters. Like,
yeah, I would rather see different cleaner teams than one, like, this one Tactics team being recurring characters.
I think the issue with the Tactics team for me is, like we said, it's a bit too obvious of a mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, and they wanted to continue their thing with, if they were going to add a fifth Glowing Dawn member, what do you think personality would work as an addition? I think...
Just tell me.
You know what I think it needs to be? You need someone bubbly who just likes being around Tomuro, and that just makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah, just somebody incredibly... It's just a real ganky type.
Yeah.
Just somebody with way too much energy for this group.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
The year is almost over. Are there any movies or games or shows you plan to try to rush into to enjoy before 2026?
I'm kind of waiting for the new year to start. Like, I'm trying to get through the holidays and then kind of indulge in, like, Time Stranger and that sort of thing.
I want my fucking Ninja Turtle set to show up. I'm fucking tired of it. Dev's aware of it. I've posted it to Blue Sky on my personal account. They shipped the 4K Ninja Turtle box a month ago. Like, after 2 weeks, I get one update that's in a warehouse. I contact the seller, who is the manufacturer of the set. They're like, well, it looks like it's still going, so give it some time. A week later, I contact them. It's like, the last update was on the 11th. They're like, okay, contact us on the 19th. If it's not there, we will figure it out. Okay, so 19th, I contact them. Then they're like, we've contacted the seller, or the shipping company. They say it's lost. And in my head, I'm like, hey, did you not try this the times I contacted you before to find out what was going on? They're like, okay, we will send another one. And then they end the email by like, if you get the first one, you better send it back or we'll charge you. It's like, that's like... not wrong, but like, don't say that. That's really fucking weird to say. And then today, the original one goes out for delivery, and it says it failed delivery. So we will see. Your package could not be delivered. Yeah. So, not that I've ever seen any fucking package, and it's not that hard to deliver stuff where I am. I would like my Ninja Turtle set.
Maybe what happens, like, it got sent off to, like, fucking Canada or something. Because that, whenever a package just disappears into the abyss, for some reason, it's ended up in Canada.
Yeah. So, Dev, anything for you?
Never happened to me.
So AR is waiting for.
I'm just trying to get through the.
Yeah. No. I get that. Dev, anything you're waiting for?
Not at all. I'm just waiting for it all to end so I can just take a fucking nap and have more than one day off at a time.
That sounds like
I'm fun. Just tired. My entire body is falling apart.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired at the moment also. I get that one.
Yep.
We'll go over this one Meta Knight, but I don't think you're liking this. Do you expect ports of old games in the upcoming year with a big push to Digimon? The push isn't really that abnormal.
Abnormal. It's just, I think the abnormal thing is that people kind of like what they're getting.
Yeah. It's like anyone on social media who's screaming about it being peak is kind of worthless at the moment because, like, this is not that abnormal. Like,
no.
Like,
the content is, this is a pretty solid, like, it's not bad. It's a good year, but it's It's not so much the quantity, it's more the quality.
Yeah, but also, like, if they're not working on proper ports and stuff now, I don't want them just shit it out. Like, yeah. That's why I, like, as much as people keep bringing up GOG, they only clean up old PC ports. I don't want, like, the version of Digimon World we all get it to be, like, an attempt to make that janky PC version from Korea into something, like, half decent.
Like, now, it go.
I want something
pull out
better.
Or don't do it at all.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I guess the question. Error, I don't know what the question says, to be honest.
Which one?
The one about the Beat Break game.
Are
they asking what engine we want used?
I think they want us to.
Not what they're doing now.
Yeah, I think, like, what if there was a new game on a new engine, what do we sort of want it to be, is how I interpret that.
I wouldn't mind just an RPG on a more polished engine, to be honest.
I am a sucker for a school setting, but like just
but like school but like if it's Beat Break, school Beat Break has kind of like gone out of its way to avoid school stuff.
It's yeah, they like I'm pretty sure Tomoro is like the just not going to school.
No, they that was the end
he's
of
like,
he's
school for school.
He's basically a dropout.
Yeah, they don't really qualify how he's doing that. But, like, yeah. They do specifically say he's just not going anymore.
Mm-hmm. He is a full-on
then
ruined.
Last one that was sent ahead of time, so last chance for you guys to chat. What do you think are the actual plans for Digimon Ghost Game Dub, and why did it get a UK release first? We went over a bit of this before, but they're curious since it feels strange, especially since the Beat Break dub was announced so close. So we kind of know what's going on with the Ghost Game Dub, which is it got dubbed because they were getting a subsidy. The reason why it was released in the UK first is because you're limited to like how you can apply for that sort of thing. So they had Toei Europe apply to it. That's why you get stuff like the French anime dubbers doing the English theme song, probably because there's something about time or number of people you have to have in each episode for it to count as Europe. And they have to release in Europe first. And they probably had to get it up by a certain date. So we'll see.
Whoever pays for it gets it.
Yeah, subsidy program has rules you have to follow. And I would assume part of it was since they had Toei Europe sign up for it, they had to release it in Europe first and have a certain amount of Europe cast. And there is not a lot of them in that show, as far as I can tell, which is probably why they dubbed the theme song, because it acts as time filler.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it pops up on like Hulu in the next few months. They've got a decent number of Digimon stuff. Okay, looks like that's it for questions. AR, where can people find you nowadays and what have you been up to?
I am doing my quick reactions on my Tumblr page, which is First Agent. And yeah, I've just been keeping up with that. I've also been working on some non-Digimon stories right now. So exploring different fandoms just to get out of the lurch a little bit.
That's always fun.
But, yeah.
Discovered anything new that's been worth your time lately?
Not really, but... now for Digimon, I'm still doing the recap, so definitely check those out if you want my weekly thoughts on every Beat Break episode.
I think we've brought them up a few times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll put some Time Stranger content on there once I start playing it, so.
Okay. And then, Dev...
Just be a little late to the party.
What Wikimaru code do you like people to read this week? Remember, before Christmas, so you have to think very carefully.
It's Juraimon Christmas Tree.
What level is he again?
I think they made
all the event bosses mega slash.
I think they're
ultimate.
All ultimates.
Yeah, I think
they're ultimate. Oh wow.
Like no matter what, like every event boss in that was just that level, because like I think technically it had to be to work.
It's gotta be an upgrade from Juraimon, I suppose.
It's festive.
Juraimon's perfect, so
I can be found at With the Will as always. Me and Dev will catch you next week. I would not expect AR to be here last episode of the year.
I'll see you in 3 months again.
I guess the only question that me and Dev have to figure out is this going to be when I actually just talk about spoilers for Time Stranger? We did promise it by the end of the year. Or should at this point with how the DLC's coming out, should we just wait for that? Because that seems to be a decent click.
You don't have a Beat Break episode next week, so.
But we may have five Dev episodes to talk about. Where hopefully I have to eat crow for anything negative I said this time, hopefully. Because anything negative I said this time about the dub was all, I hope they don't do this. because I would like it to be a good dub. So we will see.
I don't have a Crunchyroll subscription, so I won't watch it.
We will catch you guys next week. AR, as he said, in 3 months. Or when there's a drink and I'm like, AR, quick. There's something horrible you have to talk about.
I'll see if I can justify making a trip to Chicago to get you pictures of the Mitsuha thing.
Woo, and hopefully it's worth
it. I was literally in that space, too. It's really
I know. Like, I remember putting up the article and like I saw a comment from you like shortly after. It's like, you were there a week ago.
I was there 3 weeks ago.
Not a week ago. Thanksgiving.
I had to drop someone off at O'Hare, and it's like, okay, it's worth the trouble. I might as well stop at Mitsuha and check it out. And like, I was in that exact space too.
I still think the funniest time of you being the right place at the wrong time was, weren't you like going right past the convention center when Otakon was there when it was the premiere of the dub?
Yes.
I was just yelling in your general direction. I was on the subway going past the convention center to something else.
Yeah, so we will catch you guys next week. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Bye.
Bye.